So last time we were looking at King Saul, we saw what was probably the lowest time in his life when he murdered thousands of innocent people because he suspected they were helping David. Now when we get to Samuel chapter 28, we probably come across the second lowest time in Saul's life when he delves into the occult. When he seeks a witch with a familiar spirit in order to speak to Samuel, who he had passed away. Now, if you're not familiar with the reference of someone having a familiar spirit, they were generally witches or sorcerers who believed that they could call up the souls of the departed through the power of a spirit of some sort, and as they generate this spirit to come out, they could talk to that soul of the departed. And in the Hebrew, they called them an ob. There's a real bad ringing up here. I don't know what that is. Anyway, the Hebrews called them an ob, O-B. And it actually comes from the word meaning a leather bottle, actually, where you have a leather bottle and you have something inside of that leather bottle. Well, then they would say that that person with the familiar spirit was like that leather bottle, and the spirit would come within them, the soul of the departed dead or a demonic spirit to help them tell the future and be a part of them. The word familiar comes from the word meaning a household servant, and it was given to express how the sorcerer would have spiritual beings or demons as a servant who would act on their behalf. They had spirits to serve them, either to tell the future or to raise a soul of a departed dead, or to do some sort of miracle. The sorcerers in Pharaoh's day, if you read that, they were able to mimic some of the things that Moses did. They were able to throw their rods on the ground and it turned into a serpent as well. They had what we would call a familiar spirit generating power and giving them this demonic power to do so. And so these people were referred to as having a familiar spirit. And witchcraft and demonic powers isn't something that a lot of people have a lot to do with, and that's a good thing, particularly Christians. Problem with that is sometimes we can think it's something of the past and it's not for today, and so you might laugh off when you hear of people having experiences with the demonic world. Or what it can do is it can give a sense that there is no fear of the spiritual world. And so people, even Christians, will play with things that are truly demonic. You even hear Christians having seances or Ouija boards and playing around with things that they shouldn't be playing around with. Or just the light-hearted, which is really just terrible in far as I'm concerned, you know, dressing up as witches and warlocks to celebrate Halloween, thinking it's just a bit of fun, when in reality it's playing with the demonic world. And it's something that's very dangerous and we need to stay away from, because it certainly isn't harmless. You know, my first encounter with the demonic world was when I was probably around about 15 years old. I was sitting at the table with Mum and Dad, and the phone rang, and the phone was right next to the table. We had a couple of phones, and in the old days there was a little cord and Dad couldn't go anywhere. And you can hear Dad was speaking to someone that had been helping. I didn't know who they were. And then all of a sudden, there was a screeching voice, and this voice started screaming out of the phone. And then Dad started to rebuke the spirit and tell the spirit to hold your peace and in the name of the Lord. And Dad's having this argument with a demon that was speaking from within this person. And then Dad said, "Stay there, I'll be there straight away." And he hung up the phone. He says, "Oh, look, I've got to go." And so as a 15-year-old, I sat there like a stunned mullet and thought, wow, that is really scary, you know. And I had shivers down my spine for quite a while after that little experience. In my late teens, I knew of a man in Sydney who got saved. He was the grand master of a satanic coven. He was one of the big boys in Sydney, and he got saved. It's a wonderful story of how he came to know the Lord just through the simple testimony of someone that he worked with. He shared that he, as being that grand master, he had two demons that would do as he wished. And so they were his familiar spirits. And they would do his bidding, and they were usually used for immoral purposes. When he went to a nightclub, the spirits were able to influence the person he wanted to take home for the night. And that's how he used them. He said that the spirits were often used to send people crazy so that they committed suicide. And so this was really scary, dangerous stuff, and it was very real. And it's something that we shouldn't play with. Yet as Christians, it shouldn't surprise us that it's real, because the Word of God tells us very clearly that spiritual beings are real, demons are real, and they have great power. Turn over to Acts chapter 16, would you? You know, here we see Paul encountered this type of thing. In Acts chapter 16, verse 16, it says, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." And so this girl had a familiar spirit. "The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation.' And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit," get that, not to the girl, but the spirit within her, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers." And so here was some people taking advantage of a girl that had demonic beings within her. They were her familiar spirits. We know that of Simon the sorcerer, and he was able to make people think that he was someone great because of the demonic beings at his power and the witchcraft that he had. He was saved, we're told. And then he was drawn to the Holy Spirit in a way that he shouldn't have been. But he was a man that was using the powers of darkness. And so demons and spirits that were real and still are real. You know, the people that we read in the Word of God that these spirits had dealings with, they're dead and gone, the people, but the spirits are still very much alive to this very day. They're still waiting for their day of judgment. Until that day, though, they're going to wreak havoc amongst the people that of God and also those who hate God. And so the spiritual realm is very real. And people having some familiar spirits is real. And when a person goes to a medium, even today, with the hope of speaking to the departed dead, many times it's a real spirit. We shouldn't think it's just all put on. Some people are just fraudsters, but sometimes it's a real spirit. Now, but it's a spirit pretending to be the spirit of a departed dead. It's people dabbling with demonic beings who have been fooled. And we know that Satan will be transformed into an angel of light. He will deceive people in many ways, thinking that he is someone or something that he isn't. And he's been lying and deceiving people for thousands of years, especially in the idea that they can speak to souls of the departed dead. And if you hear of someone, understand that it is just demonic in its essence. And in the Word of God, in the Old Testament, God made it very clear that those with a familiar spirit were not of him, and that his people were to have nothing to do with anyone who had a familiar spirit. Let me read some verses. Leviticus 19:31, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Stay away from this stuff. Leviticus 20, verse 9, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul. That's serious. Leviticus 20, 27, a man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. And so God made it very clear that his people were to have nothing to do with those who had familiar spirits. Yet knowing this, Saul finds himself seeking the help of a witch who had a familiar spirit. Why? Well, in chapter 28, we're told why. And we see that he was in trouble and he wanted help. Have a look at verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 28. It says, and it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. Verse 3, now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. And so, Samuel's dead, we see. Saul had put away wizards and those that had familiar spirits. We're not told when he did that. I suspect it was in his early days when he was soft towards the things of God. But then we read in verse 4, and the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart greatly trembled. And so Saul was confronted by the Philistine army again. And when he saw how great the army was, he was really scared. And so what did he decide to do? I'm going to ask God for help. Isn't that interesting? People can ignore God for years, rebel against God, don't want to listen to God. But once they're in trouble, who do they run to? They run to God. I remember when I worked in a paint company, there was quite a number of guys that teased me for being a Christian. They thought it was ridiculous. They loved paying me out for being a Christian. And then one day, one of the guys got a phone call from the police. His name was Ray. And his daughter had been in a car accident. He panicked. And he took off. And she was fairly badly hurt, but she didn't die. But He admitted to me the next day, he says, you know, Alan, I was really praying to God that she'd be okay. It's amazing when something goes wrong in life, people pray to God. And this was the same with Saul. Things weren't looking good, so he went to God for help. Problem with Saul was he forgot that God wasn't like the fireman who just waited, didn't want to hear from you unless you had problems. And then he was there at your beck and call. Now, God said, not that he had said this at this time, but we know the mind of God where he says, for your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. And that's a principle that was there in the Old Testament, also in the New Testament. And the understanding is that God wasn't going to listen to Saul in that sinful state. And that was the case because we read there in verse 6, and when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. See, there was no repenting of sin by Saul. There was no accepting the consequences that God had put upon him by Saul. And so there was no answering from the Lord. And so what did Saul decide to do? He decided to seek help from Satan instead. That just shows the state of this mind, of this man. He just wanted help. He didn't really care where it came from. He just wanted help. Question I'd like to ask you is, if God says no to you about something, do you accept it? Or do you seek help from other sources? And I just say you're sick. and you ask God to heal you. Take your sickness away, like Paul did. If God says no, do you respond like Paul? But he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Is that how you respond? Now, I'm going to say very clearly that I believe that God has provided medical help for us today. And as knowledge is increased and we've been able to see how the body works, well, then we're able to see how the body can be healed. And God has given us this medical advice that we need to be very thankful for and praise God for. God, all they're discovering is things that God has already put in place. But if you've prayed to God for help, and you've done what you can in seeking medical help as well, and there's no healing, do you respond like Paul, or do you seek questionable help? Help that you wouldn't usually try, but now you're getting desperate. You know, sadly, there are many Christians who won't respond like Paul, and so they go to things against their better judgment. They seek faith healers. They seek charismatic healers of some sort, New Age treatment for help, because being healed is all that they can think of. You know, I was just driving down the road this week, and where are we? Just down near Woolworths, there was a sign up, miracle healing here tonight. Wow. Now, if you'd just been diagnosed with cancer, you'd be tempted to go there, wouldn't you? Huh. I might go there and see if I could be healed. Someone that's not a Christian, surely they would definitely be going down there, see if they could get healed. But what if you were a Christian and there was no other hope? Would you be tempted to go there? You know, too often people go to these things and they discover an angel of light. Someone who makes out to be something that is of God, but it's really of Satan. And they get more than they often bargain for. You know, most of these people, they never get healed, yet they give ground to Satan for future attacks. And if someone is healed, it's through wicked power. You know, the man that was a grand master of that satanic coven, he told me that as Satanists, they often spoke in tongues. That wasn't anything new for them. And because he was drawn to that type of thing, healing and speaking in tongues, in a foolish time, he decided to go to one of the most well-known charismatic churches in Sydney because he wanted to get a bit of healing and to be able to speak in tongues, and he wanted it from God. So he wanted something godly, you know, not from the devil, but he wanted something from God. And so he went, said he went forward, and when soon as the pastor laid hands on him, he knew he had just received the same type of spirit that he had when he was a Satanist. He had no doubt about that. He thought he was getting something from God, but he just got something he had already had before. The trouble that followed him is rather scary, probably not for this audience. But what we need to know is we need to be very careful where we seek help and from who we seek help. This applies to physical help, spiritual help, making sure that we don't give ground to the devil in these areas. And be very sure that Satan isn't just going to come as a witch or a sorcerer and say, let me heal you. He's going to come as an angel of light preaching a false gospel at times, a false Jesus, a false spirit, promising healing from God or from an angel, and he'll deceive many foolish people. Saul, though, he wasn't tricked. He was blatantly disobedient. Got to give him that at least. He wasn't fooled. He just chose to try something satanic to get help. And so he went and asked help from a witch. We read that in verse 7. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on another raiment, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that hath had familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. So it appears this witch believed that she was able to bring up spirits of dead people to speak. And so she was either deceived by the demonic beings that she had the power to do this, and she thought she was actually doing it, like many mediums are today, or she knew it was simply a demon and she was just happy to deceive her clients. One of the two. What we notice, though, in the following verses is something happened that she wasn't used to, and she was just as scared as Saul was. And so something happened that she didn't expect at this time. And I believe, for reasons that I don't know, God allowed Samuel to come back and appear. And that's why the witch was so scared. Now, some people will disagree with this, but that's where I sort of lay in regards to this. We read there in verse 12, And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. What we see here is her familiar spirit didn't appear, but Samuel did. And she knew something was very different to what normally happened. And it says there that she cried. That is a shriek. She screamed out with a loud voice. And so she was scared herself. And we go on verse 13, it says, And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. Now, I'm going to put it out there that I am not going to pretend that I'm an expert on what happened just here. And I'm happy not to be an expert in this field. I'd like to be rather ignorant about this as much as possible. Let me just give you a couple of thoughts that I have in describing what he saw here in gods ascending out of the earth and bringing up Samuel. We're told in the Gospel of Luke how that a man named Lazarus went to a place of the departed dead. Was it Lazarus or a poor man? He went to the departed dead. Pardon? Yeah, Lazarus and the rich man. Thanks. I was getting myself confused a little bit there. But it's true. Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, which was in the earth. And then the rich man died as well. And he went to a place of torment that was in the earth. But there was a great gulf fixed between the two. But we're told that it was in the earth. And there seems to be the argument that until Jesus rose from the dead, both went into the earth. Some to a place which was referred to as Abraham's bosom, and then others to a place of torment. Both in the earth, though. Also, when it mentions he saw gods, that could be simply a description of spirits. It could be angels. And maybe at this time, this is my surmising, the angels of God were sent to bring forth Samuel out of Abraham's bosom to speak to Saul. For reasons why God allowed that, I don't know. And the woman saw this and was obviously scared and terrified. This wasn't something she normally saw. I do think it's also important to notice how it is described here as the it is inspired by God. It says, "And Samuel said to Saul." We're not told, "And the familiar spirit said to Saul," or "the familiar spirit pretending to be Samuel said to Saul." It just simply says, "And Samuel said to Saul," which would make me think that this was genuinely the angels went and they brought back Samuel for this time. Also, that makes me think that is, Saul didn't get what he was hoping. He didn't get nice things said like everyone hopes to hear when they go to a medium for these sort of things. But he was told exactly what God thought and how God was going to judge him for his way of life. And he told in the future, and it certainly wasn't what he wanted to hear. It wasn't something nice from a familiar spirit to make him keep coming back and dabbling with the occult. You know, it says there, "And Saul answered, 'I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do.'" In his ignorance, Saul hadn't worked out that Samuel was on God's side. He thought, "Well, God's against me, and so I've called for you, Samuel." They were both on the same side. And that's made really clear, because what we see here next is Samuel tells him the state that he's in at the moment, why he's in that, and what's going to happen in the future because of his disobedience to God. Have a look at verse 16. "Then said Samuel, 'Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and it is become thine enemy?'" What we see here is he tells him the state that he's in at the moment. The Lord has departed from you, Saul. You're now his enemy. Now that's something he didn't want to hear. That's not going to bring him back. But that was the truth. Verse 17. "And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David." And so he told him the state that he was in. The Lord has taken the kingdom from you. He's going to give it to David. And then he tells him the reason why in verse 18. "Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day." And then he tells him the future. Verse 19. "Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me." Yeah, they're going to be dead. "The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines." And so he tells him his future, and it's not a good one. "Tomorrow, you and your sons are going to die, Saul. It's time to give the kingdom to David." Now, I think it's important to note that even though it appears that God did this for him, he still wasn't happy by the means he went about it. Turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 10, would you? This is after these things came to pass. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verses 13 and 14, we have this recorded. "So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse." You see, even though God did tell him the future, he was still really upset for him going and being seeking answers from that witch at that time. And this is an important thing to note from this. I mean, if we're seeking healing and we get tricked by an angel of light and we thought we were going to God when we were really going to something that was not of God, we're still going to be held accountable for that. And we will probably get more than we ever hoped to get, but we also will have to suffer the chastisement of the Lord. You know, if there have been people that do go to these faith healers and they get healed. I don't think it happens too often, but some do. But that doesn't mean God's happy with them. He's not happy by the means by which they were healed. And often it's going to open them up to far worse things as they've given ground to the devil. And other things will happen in the process. And so what we see here, so we're told in the New Testament, test the spirits, see if they are of God, because there have been many false gospels go into the world, many false Christs, many false spirits that will deceive even the elect, if possible. And so just in this understanding of what Saul did, let's make sure that we're not ignorant of the demonic world or stubborn, thinking it won't hurt us. We shouldn't dabble in it in any way, because it is real, it's very dangerous, it's an abomination inside of God. You know, I thought it was really interesting while I was writing this message, I got a phone call, and it was a fella just randomly picked me, and he said, "Oh, hello, look, I live in Melbourne, and I've just bought a house in Bendigo, and I'm wondering if you could go and bless it for me." I go, "Oh, okay, why do you want me to bless it for you?" "Well, you know, sometimes there might be bad spirits in the house, and I'm a bit worried about that, and so I was wondering if you could just go and pray over it to make sure there's no bad spirits, so we can have God's blessing." I thought, isn't that weird that I get that this week when I'm writing this? And I thought, oh, well, I'll just take the opportunity to share the gospel with him. And so I said, "Well, you know, I do believe spirits are very real. That's true. But I believe the way you get God's blessing upon a house is that the people that are inside seek after God with all their heart and they put him first. That comes by asking the Lord Jesus to save you and having that cleansing of your spirit. And then as you seek God in his word, that's where you enjoy God's blessing. It's not just by saying some prayer. I think I'd be a hypocrite if I went and prayed a prayer and think that and fool you into thinking that you're going to have a blessing." And he goes, "Oh, okay, well, thanks for that." Oh. He didn't want to talk too much. Okay. "But if you ever want to talk to me about how to get things right with God and have God's blessing upon your life, feel free to ring me. But maybe you should ring someone else if you just want to get someone to pray a blessing over your house." But even the unsaved know that there's real things. I've had a lady ring me up in Bendigo saying, "Could you come and help me? We need help. They delved into the occult and we need you to come and pray. Things are being thrown across the room and hitting us, and demons are throwing things at us." That happens in Bendigo. It's very real. And the people aren't making this up. Just thank God that we don't have to deal with that. But let's not dabble with it either. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that sometimes we can read things in your word, but not translate it into everyday life and realize these things are still very real today. We need to stay away from the demonic world and witchcraft and those with familiar spirits, Lord, that is opening ground and giving ground in areas that you forbid us to do so. Give us wisdom in that. And show us where maybe we have been fooled even. And I pray that you would be the one that guides. And so I pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.